This episode is brought to you by Udemy. Udemy is the largest and most accessible online learning marketplace with the most courses, teachers, and opportunities for students everywhere around the globe. I'll tell you, spitting chicklets listeners, everybody knows me as a hockey guy, but another thing about me too, I'm a big movie guy, and I also love podcasts about movies as well. And when I'm listening to that stuff, I learn tons of stuff that you can't learn on a hockey podcast. And if you want to expand your horizons, there's no better way to do that than with Udemy. With over 60,000 courses online, Udemy is the largest space for online learning. I mean, if you want to take a history of film, something like I did, boom, find out how the early origins of movies start. I'm the movie geek of the hockey podcast, so I like to learn a little bit more in addition to, you know, power plays and being shorthanded. Udemy has something for everyone, whether I'm home, at the desk, on the computer, using the app on my phone. Udemy gives me access to knowledge wherever I am. You guys got to check it out. I'm telling you, they got something for everybody. They've helped students all over the world improve their skills, their careers, and their lives. They've helped me get the best I can. For, you know, when I'm in a movie trivia contest, I got to pull something out of my butt. Boom. Udemy helps it out. So go to UDE.my/chicklets right now and get 90% off when you sign up for classes. You will not find a better price. So sign up for classes now using our link, UDE.my/chicklets. That's CHICLETS. And get access to life-changing classes for 90% off. And make sure you download their app to use on the phone. You can stream your studies wherever you are. That's UDE.my/chicklets. UDE.my/chicklets. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 103 of Spittin' Chicklets, brought to you by Barstool Sports. Let's say hello to the fellas. Ryan Whitney will go at first. How was the brothers' wedding last week?
Fabulous. Just an amazing time. What's going on, everyone? Chatham in the Cape. Beautiful area. My God. This wedding was phenomenal. Me and my brother did a speech together. It was a roasting, pretty much a roasting of our youngest brother. But we also, you know, gave in some nice things. So we can go into whatever we want later, but I'll let everyone else say hello.
Mikey Granelli, producer.
What's up, boys? What's going on?
And Wonder Boy Paul Bissonette, who is currently just outside Seattle. Biz, did you stop in for any, what do you call them? Any bumble notches up in the Pacific Northwest while you're driving? How's that going for you?
No, I actually deleted Bumble. And Raya is currently on hold, and I'm getting back with my girl. Well, we're going to see if we can work things out, and this is off the market. No more fun. Although I did have the conversation with her that I told her, I said, this podcast is important to me, and all my old stories are allowed to be talked about. Obviously, I cannot create any new ones. So that's the arrangement we have.
Hey, you know what? Basically, you're telling her, okay, people like my old stories. I want to be with you. But if you want to go to the Capitol Grill and go shopping, I'm going to tell all those stories so that I can make more money. And if you don't, then I won't tell anything and we can go eat at Applebee's.
Hey, babe. If you like the Appies at Applebee's, let's go. I'll quit the pod. We'll have an awesome, very simple life. But so, you know,
those stories still happen. You have to know that.
I mean, the house of no return story, which will be coming in the next few episodes, that's going to put us over the edge, and we're going to get the surf and turf in Astros. I mean, come on.
So Biz, like you do these road trips, you know, back and forth from Vancouver to Phoenix. Now, do you have any stops you make on all your trips, or is it just fuck it? I've done it a million times. Put your like helmet on and drive and make no stops and get there quick. But like, what kind of itinerary do you have?
You know what? I'm always doing these by myself. All right. If I ever did it, like let's say with my girl, I would like to do the California coast, like go down maybe even wine country. But when I'm just doing it by myself, I'm just trying to bang out 2 12-hour days and just get there. From Vancouver to Arizona is a 24-hour drive.
Like, let's be honest, though. I mean, if you were to do that with your girl, I mean, a couple hours, you're like, what am I doing? What did I do? What did I get myself into?
Well, I'm pretty sure I'd just roll outside the door and that would be it, you know, just kind of fucking end her there. But no, but I actually think I think I could survive 2 days in the car, you know,
That's
just
not that's
maybe with the
not
dogs.
bad.
Maybe we'd have to bring the dogs.
Hey, it's crazy. Like it feels we did a show, I think. We did a show when you were driving from Phoenix to Vancouver. That feels like a month ago. When was that?
Yeah. Time flies, boys. That was one of my first episodes after I got back from Australia. And I tell you what, it's been quite the summer. And this podcast, I mean, Christ, boys, we can get into it. We've created a cult following. I had somebody, some random guy buy me breakfast
A
the other
cult
morning.
following. You're insane. What did you say?
No, I said, we've created a cult following. Like, I'll be walking down the street, we'll have people yelling at me, chicklets, chicklets. And the other morning, there was a guy from San Jose who was going to hop on a cruise, an Alaskan cruise, and he saw me inside of a breakfast spot and he bought me breakfast. And I was like, geez, dude, you didn't have to do that. And he goes, man, just keep bringing the stories on chicklets. Like, it's the least I can do. And I'm like, geez, man, like, we have some hardcore, awesome fans.
And he probably said, like, I know you were going to just go to the bathroom and probably leave on the bill anyway, so I figured I'd help out the waitress.
That stanky box is paying off for you, biz.
Yeah,
Hey,
that's. Yeah.
I just last I'm just getting back today. I drove early in the morning. I left like 5:15 Milton, where I live. I went to Sleepy Hall, sick golf track outside New York City. So me and my buddy went, his good friend's a member. Unreal time, but about 2 hours into the ride, we pull over in New Haven, right off the highway. There's a Starbucks. I'm like, I need something to eat. Whatever, get out of the car. I get out of the car. Some other kid gets to the car. He's like, "Holy shit, you gotta be kidding me!" And right away, I'm like, I think this kid's a Chicklets fan. And my buddy says, he's like, "I'm just thinking he knows you and you don't remember him." Sure enough, he's like, dude, I'm the biggest fan of Chicklets. How the fuck am I seeing you at New Haven at 7:30 in the morning? I was like, this is insane. I'm like, I appreciate you listening, man. Oh,
That is
you didn't buy
fucking
me
wild,
breakfast,
man.
though.
Me and Grinnelli were down Nashville, like, you know, like we were meeting fans from Alabama and like all these hick towns you never heard of. It's crazy, man, how we got our tentacles out. I love when people tell us that the best compliment I think we get is like, I don't even really watch hockey, but since I listen to the show, now I'm watching the draft and I'm into the NHL. Like, that's like the best thing we hear. Like, you know, people getting into hockey because of the show.
Yeah, if you don't like hockey and you actually listen to us, you're my favorite person in the world, I'd say. Yeah, so it's pretty
Well,
entertaining.
Whit, why don't we talk about the PGA Championship? I know you're a big golfer. That handsome fella, what's his
Oh,
name? Brock?
Brooks Koepka, he is a man rocket. I think we talked about it after he won the US Open. That guy is a, I mean, talk about an alpha male. Hammer cock Hulk. He just
Does he have a huge wrench?
there's no way he doesn't. I mean, let's be honest, look at the guy. He wears schmedium t-shirts, skin tight. He's swinging out of his shoes, mashing the ball on a string, and then, you know, his girl's waiting for him after, that like, gives her a quick little like high five, and then he just like struts in front of her. The guy's a machine.
Well, wait, I kind of wanted to talk about that. So, man, would it ever make me uncomfortable if, like, she looked at Tiger a certain way, and then obviously the whole Barstool crowd screenshotted it, and everyone was like, oh, basically, like, oh, she wants to stuff Tiger. Like, God, you know he's seeing that because he's big on social media. Would that make you look differently at your girl? Like, would you break up with her if everyone's like, oh, Tiger's gonna bang her?
No, because Tiger's like anything Tiger does. I mean, he walked in with his hat backwards, his shades on. It's a hilarious thing, but anything he does goes viral. So obviously, with his sexual history, you see some girl in a split second moment in a picture, like looking at him with like the gomi eyes. And
I
what are you
know
gonna
he had the
do? It's like
hungry eyes.
you can get a picture of anyone. I mean, it's a split second. I mean, honestly. She probably is looking at him like Tiger fucking Woods. I mean, God, the guy's an absolute winning machine that, I mean, just sexed up everything from Perkins waitresses to supermodels on his yacht privacy. So, I mean, she probably
Wait.
does have a little bit of like awe factor looking at him.
Okay, but hear me out though. So, like, all of a sudden, you're dating the golf's new hunk who he's let, okay, we'll establish this right now. He's better looking than Tiger Woods. That's
Wait,
not negotiable.
Tiger's not good looking. He's got to shave
right, okay.
his head too. Shave it up off top. Go RA style. Don't try to hold on to yeah. those feathers.
I agree, but hear me out. So not only is he not winning like he used to, and now her man is, he's better looking, but yet she gives him the hungry eyes. Like, that upsets me. It's just like, what? Like, ugh. Like, I would be grossed out by that, and I would gas her.
Yeah, dude, she's just a fan. I mean, he's the most popular fucking guy in the sport. I think anyone gets a little leeway for getting a little googly eyed. I mean, he's, you know, it's like seeing the fucking Beatles, man. It's Tiger Woods. Even I can imagine what Whitney looked like. We didn't have any footage of Whitney when he saw him, but he probably looked similar to that. People go crazy. As far as Koepka, man.
No, I gave him nucks.
Not only is he Jack Wits, but talk about ice water in his veins, man, huh? I mean, he had Tiger creeping all day, and he just kept him at bay, and he played fucking unreal golf. He just played fucking smart and steady. And, like, man, this guy's the real deal. Like, you know, guys just don't crumble in front of Tiger, but he was very impressive.
He is so nails, and I think – every sport is this way, but golf is, I mean, to me, the most, where you have to be cocky to be the best, and he is so cocky, but, I mean, you got to just respect it. It's when he won his first, I think he won a European tour, his first European tour, like the Challenge Tour, which is like the web.com for the European tour, and he said, I don't mean to sound cocky, but this is just the beginning. I have, like, an amazing future coming. So, I feel
like here's what's crazy.
Yeah,
he's got three majors and only one normal PGA win. PGA wins.
I know that's. I didn't even realize that either. That's incredible. I mean, you're able to win the hardest tournaments to win. I mean, he's got the stat that kind of blew me away for golf nerds out there who know golfers: Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, and Justin Thomas combined have three, and Brooks Koepka has three. So, I mean, that's three superstars, and all together they have three, and this animal already has three, and the regular tournaments don't even matter to him. So he's not going anywhere either. I mean, the guy was talking about how he did a full body lift Sunday morning. He benched 225 15 times before he goes out and plays the final round of a major. So he's a machine.
And he's what, only the fourth American under 29 to have three majors before he's turned 29. I know, I think Nicholas and Tiger were two of the other ones. They showed the graphic the other day. So that was a pretty impressive stat as well.
Well, Spieth has three. So.
This might be a cliche question, but do you think that Tiger will ever win another major?
I have a two $500 bets with people that I made when he was in the darkest of the dark days that he would never that he would never win another major. It's till he's 50. So I'm starting to get worried. I didn't think he would, but now, I mean, at this point, he was right in the lead at the British Open coming on the backstretch. He finishes tied second here. I think he's going to get one. He's either going to get a Masters or a British Open, because I think the other two tournaments, I don't know, he doesn't drive it very straight. On the back nine Sunday, he missed all nine fairways and was three under. That, I mean, Biz, you don't golf. That's just insane. If you don't hit the fairways, you don't shoot three under.
Yeah, to answer your question,
I'm not a big fairway guy either.
I think he does, man. Just the last two tournaments, he's been knocking, especially the other day. I mean, it's like he had a chance and he blew it. I think, you know, if he had a better Thursday, he might have won the tournament. But I mean, yeah, he's. I'm not gonna say the two words everybody else uses, but I think he's definitely close to winning another tourney, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he does it. I think he will. But I don't. That's not one of my bets with Whitney, by the way.
No, he.
You think Tiger gets his butthole licked by some of these girls he's with?
I'm going to guess that Tiger was very involved in anal play when he was on his run, and maybe currently. He's got a new babe, but I didn't even she doesn't really get talked about. I saw her give her a kiss when he walked off the 18th green, but I didn't even know he had a new girl.
Yeah, do we know who she is?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like I don't think, like, at least, like, tabloids don't talk about her. Maybe because she's not famous. I mean, Lindsey Vonn was a famous chick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've talked about golf long enough. There's actually a couple A couple things in the news, I guess, hockey wise. I mean, R.A. Grinnell, you want to bring them up?
So the NHL released the schedule for games that will be played on NBC this year, and as we figured, Chicago is in the lead once again with 19 games. Washington will be on NBC the second most with 18 games. Philadelphia third, 17 games. Pittsburgh fourth, 15 games, and then Boston and the Rangers are tied for fifth with 14 games, but it's getting some a little controversy surrounded by it because, as we know, the Blackhawks didn't make the playoffs last year, and you know, they're featured on national television the most this season.
I know people kind of complain about this, but those are the biggest markets, so it makes sense. And also, it NBC made a conscious effort to, they're going to show more Canadian games. I think there's going to be more games on like NBC as opposed to NBC Sports, so national TV. And then I think the All-Star Game's going to national TV. So, I mean, I think the people whining, I mean, Chicago's, Pittsburgh, Washington, they're always going to have the most games. That's just how it is. But if they're going to get more involved with Canadian matchups and show Toronto play Winnipeg, which I believe they are, then that's a great start. I mean, they're not going to right away change what everyone wants them to change and show teams evenly. It's just, it's not going to happen. So if they slowly get into it, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, R.A., what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, people, I feel like this joke's been fucking running on hockey Twitter for 5 years now. The Blackhawks get all the Winter Classics. The Blackhawks get all the national telecast. But, hey, man, when you win fucking 3 Stanley Cups in, what, 6 seasons, was it? Yeah. Then, yeah, you're going to your fucking teams are going to be on TV a lot. That's kind of how it works. Like, you know, to use the Patriots as an example, they won all their Super Bowls. That's why they're on national TV every other fucking week, it seems. So, yeah, Chicago, they did have an off year. It is kind of odd that they added 2 games considering they weren't a playoff team last year. But, you know, they're still marketable. Like Witt said, they're a huge city. They're drawing huge numbers. Taking a look at, like, Tampa, they're doubling their amount of games on NBC, going from 6 to 12, which is, you know, wholly appropriate. They're an American team down south who's loaded. I mean, they should be one of the Stanley Cup favorites. So it's good to see them getting some games. But, yeah, I mean, you know, every time these kind of schedules come out, people are always going to complain, and especially nowadays everything gets fucking amplified. So small tiny fucking violin right here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys basically hit the nail on the head. Like, I mean, it comes down to money, and I believe that the teams that they're putting at the front, the top of the list there, are the ones generating the most income, and that's what makes the league go round, essentially. And already you touched on it, you know, they won 3 cups. They've kind of earned to be on that stage. I know they haven't won one as of late in the last few years here, but nonetheless, I mean, people want to see how they rebound. They still have that core group of guys together, and hey, I think Grinnelli, I forgot how many you said LA was pulling in. Like, I feel like that's a fan base that would deserve them as well, based on winning.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. They're never on, it seems.
The LA Kings only have 5, which that's pretty shocking.
Right, and they have a pretty good core group of players. They got some, you know, they draft well and they develop well, so they always have these good up and comers. So yeah, I'm surprised to see them on the list, but ultimately, you know, that those I'm sure based on analytics is what's going to put the money in their pocket. So hey, what are you going to do? And hey, Arizona's on it once. You don't fucking hear me whining.
Actually, Biz, they're twice. They doubled.
Ooh.
How?
Suck it. Who are we on more than?
They doubled. They doubled last year.
Twice, right?
No, there's actually 2 teams that got 0 games.
Hold on. Let me try to guess. Wow. Okay.
Carolina.
That would probably be a guess. Did Panthers not get one?
Nope.
Florida?
No. Florida got one.
Oh, they did. And Carolina did too?
Carolina did too.
Okay. Montreal?
Jeez.
No, they would have the Bruins. They would have the Bruins. Wow. Oh, Ottawa.
Dallas?
Shit.
Ottawa. Ottawa is correct.
We on Ottawa.
The Fire Dumpster ain't getting anything. And the other team that doesn't get one NBC game would have to be.
It's kind of easy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it another Canadian squad? Vancouver?
The Islanders?
Bingo.
Is.
Van?
I got it.
Yeah, Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, I was going to say it can't be an American.
On the Canadian.
Actually, the Kings, Grinnelli, they're taking a huge hit. They had fucking 12 games on national TV last year. It's going down to 5. That's a huge increase. All right, before we get to a little bit more NHL news, just want to talk to you about My Blue for a minute. You know, sometimes it's hard to find a satisfying vape that's simple and convenient. Blue, who introduced vaping to the world, is now introducing My Blue. Gives you all the satisfaction with none of the hassle. You just click and go. With My Blue's easy-to-use one-click liquid buds, you can switch between flavors in seconds, and there's a range of flavors you can choose from. My Blue's curved design makes it comfortable to use. It's just 20 minutes to charge, and you're all set for the day. It comes with a free limited lifetime device warranty called MyCare. So try My Blue today at myblue.com. It's not for sale for minors. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, but you want to go to myblue.com to check it out.
Boys, we did touch on one of the teams, and they got, I guess, some positive news, whereas one of their prospects, Brady Tkachuk, is going to be leaving school and going to play for another professional team, the London Knights.
So is that confirmed? He's definitely going to London?
I think I can kind of confirm it. I think it's been rumored. Actually, I can't say I can confirm it, but I'd be surprised if it's not on London.
And I can't talk about why I called the London Knights professional because I'll get in trouble. I've gotten a little trouble in the past about, you know, making comments about potentially money exchanging hands. But we're not going to go there because I'm done. Those days are done. But good for Brady. And it just so happens that he may be going to the London Knights. So once again, the London Knights have loaded up on talent that they didn't think they were going to get, but somehow they might get it. So that's all I got to say.
Maybe he goes to camp and he's just amazing, though. I mean, is he not even going to – I'd like to see how it plays out. I mean, is he not even going to go to the Senators' camp?
No, that's –
Oh, yeah, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, he's going to get an opportunity to fucking get a role at Ottawa. I mean, he's going to go to camp, and, I mean, obviously he's definitely not going back to BU, so
– They're hurting the left wingers, too.
Charlie Coyle left BU and went and played junior. I believe after the World Juniors, maybe.
I mean, it also depends on what London's going to pay him, too. I mean, never mind. Forget I said that. Forget I said
that.
I
will delete that.
Grinelli, can you please delete that? Thank you.
So, Witz, like, assuming he does go from, you know, college to juniors, like you said Charlie Coyle did, it doesn't happen often. Why is that, you think? I mean, why does it just seem to be a rare thing for guys to go college to junior? You know, it doesn't just
college hockey is so good now that there really isn't the need to. The only thing I'll say is if people are like, why would you leave BU Hockey East? College is just as good to go to the OHL. But you know what? His brother played in London, and his brother's had a great start to what looks to be a long, promising career in the NHL. So you see a family member do something. You know he was comfortable. You know who's going to be there. You know what he's getting into in terms of how the team treats the players. And so someone who's had family do it, I see how this went down. I don't think it's common just because college hockey's so much better it's better than it's ever been. So guys don't need to. You can go right from college playing the NHL, which maybe he still will.
I'm going to chime in there. I think this is the reason why is I think that the OHL on a schedule standpoint and more hockey focused gets you ready for the pro game. You're paying in the OHL, I believe they play 68 games now, as opposed to a shorter schedule in college. And college, like every game, I find that guys are like running around like it's their last game ever. It's like each game just amplifies. You're playing for that much more because it's a shorter schedule. Where I feel in order to adapt to the pro game, and Whit, you can attest to this, you need to get in like a good rhythm where you're not going balls to the wall every night, but you're playing at that like 85%, you know, energy exertion level, and you need to find the rhythm of your game. And you might think I'm looking way too much into it,
but I
think that's a big factor.
As much as I hate to say, you know, I think you're right. I do. I it's funny because college hockey, it's so much shorter, and you know, whatever, 35 to 40-ish games. I'm pretty sure that's what it still is. That's what it was when I played. It's every Friday, Saturday. So you have all week off. You practice, you lift, and then, like you said, boom, boom, two nights, Friday, Saturday. And it isn't like pro, and it is hard. That first year, you're just like, oh, my God, like another Tuesday game. It's January, game 53. Holy shit. But college, yep, that never happened. So maybe he is looking, all right, I want to learn the pro game, and junior is more of a pro game. So I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah, and another option, too, they could always send him to the AHL, which, I mean, you'd think that would probably be better for his development than the OHL at this stage of the game if he's leaving BU, you know? That's probably
I don't believe he's allowed to just yet, simply for the fact that he's been already drafted by an NHL team. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different rules that apply to this. We may be butchering it right now.
No,
but I also heard that he has the chance to go to three different OHL teams where or he would only go there. So there's a lot of moving parts here, but I mean, chances are he ends up with the London Knights because, you know, they can afford him.
I actually did look it up as I found an article that specifically gave that info. So I'm not making it up on the fly. It says they can give him a spot with the NHL club out of camp, keep him on the big club's roster all season as he wants to do. They could also either loan him to the OHL's London Knights, who own his junior rights, or assign him to their AHL affiliate, the Belleville Senators, perhaps after giving him a 9-game trial with Ottawa. So I didn't make that up.
Really, eh? No. Yeah, and I wasn't saying you were necessarily, but it seems weird that, like, it's either pro or junior. Like, what? Why not? Why wouldn't they sign him to the A then?
Yeah, exactly. Do they think that it's like, unless London Knights, unless London's going to give him more money than fucking Belleville will.
Yeah, but RA, we can't say that here on this podcast.
Sorry,
Grinelli, I don't want to get in trouble, okay?
Sorry.
Yeah, just cut that out, Grinelli. Thank you.
Hey, Jamie Benn requested to be my Instagram friend. Like, that means he would probably come on the pod, right? I've never really talked to him.
I hope
100%.
So.
He's a great guy, too. A couple island boys. I was hanging out with his brother a couple weekends ago before a wedding on the island.
His brother's has turned, like, a pretty good career, huh? Like, I didn't even know, if, you know, when he was coming up, like, how good he was going to be. He's played for a pretty long time now. Plays hard as a D-man. Are you buddies with him?
I think he came out of the coast too. So
yeah,
he's definitely.
I respect the shit out of guys like you, Biz.
Biz, what's your stance on Ben's stance on Cunnilingus? He said not to
what's
like. You don't know what Cunnilingus is?
Whoa!
Who said that?
Jamie Benn doesn't go down on how, where did he say that?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if it was in a tweet or something. I'll pull it up. Yeah,
no way, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
some basketball player, probably.
Jeez.
No, he doesn't go down on because people have been milking the joke for fucking years. But I was wondering, Biz, is that something you know? That's not something you would stand.
I mean, I don't agree with that. We have different views on that. So I'm gonna maybe we won't have him on the podcast.
You're not. You're not a selfish person, Biz. No one will ever say that about you.
Oh, look, I just found the headline on this website called Boston Sports. Nate,
I'll go down on Puss after we've spent like a day at a music festival in the heat.
It's a Boston headline from 3 years ago. Apparently, Jamie Benn doesn't eat pussy and looks down on those who do. From Boston, Nate from last
really?
Week. We want maybe him to come on the podcast, guys. Like,
maybe that's why he didn't follow me, because he knows I like to go down.
Yeah.
Downtown. Hey,
I got the tweet right here. He said to Jason Demers, do you like to bunch mocks instead of bunch? Would you like to bunch mocks? I feel like you're the kind of guy that would do that.
And maybe bunch mocks means something totally different, though. Like
Demers.
He hasn't
shot it down. Maybe we can get him on the podcast and, you know, maybe.
No. I believe he switched the B and the M just so he couldn't get in trouble by the team.
Exactly, right.
That's thinking. Yeah. Hey, Biz, this time of year, I think back to when I was playing and all my friends who are still playing, you're excited for the year, but I always feel, you know, August 15th, the anxiety starts setting in, like, oh my God, camp, like, am I ready? The season long, like, do you not miss that? Like, I don't miss it.
buddy, that was the worst part of the summer for me, where I had to cram for the exam. Cause like, I mean, I like to get after it in the summers, man. So yeah, I mean, it's the best. Now all I got to do is do a podcast. It's great.
It's, oh my God. I just think like now you're skating 4 or 5 days a week. You're really picking it up and you just want testing day to be over. The best day, I'm pretty sure most teams do it. I know the teams I was on, right from testing, after you do, you know, weight, body fat, all the bench press, whatever the tests are, and you just, everyone goes to just crush burgers, have a beer. It's like, oh my God, I can finally just play hockey now.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
I was a VO2 animal. You know that, Biz?
Were you?
Animal.
What's a VO2 animal?
I was like Lance Armstrong.
What's that mean, Witz, to the listeners who don't know?
So a VO2 is a test. I'll probably butcher this. I'm pretty sure it's a test. It basically checks like how your wind, like how long can you be out there for and not get tired? Biz, can you describe it better than me? Because I'm a mutant.
Yeah, it basically, it's a test that the teams use in order to calculate how many beers and vodkas you had over the summertime. So that wasn't really my strong suit. I was more of like a chin-up kind of guy.
Hey, Duncan Keith.
A box muncher.
I heard Duncan Keith did have a VO2 number that was actually like Lance Armstrong's, which probably explains why he could just play.
Hey, you know who's a freak is Brent Burns. Apparently, he like testing wise, he's I guess so. Yeah,
dude, Bork was an animal. Man.
Oh, boys, one thing that we haven't touched on yet is there's been a couple signings recently.
Yep. Fill us in. Who we got?
First, before we get to the signings, Biz, we forget to mention we got Tyson Jost and Blake Kumho coming on the show a little later. So
we
got those guys lined up. As for the signings, we mentioned Brady Tkachuk already. Ryan Ellis signed a 6-year, $50 million deal with
what a bargain! Nashville.
Nice bargain for them. Nice deal for him as well. And Dylan Larkin, D-Boss, signed a 5-year, $30.5 million deal in Detroit, and with Zetterberg iffy about coming back, lots of chatter about him potentially being the next captain in Detroit. So those are the big signings since that last show. What's your take on it, Witz?
Ryan Ellis, what a deal. I mean, you got to think if he's on the open market, he's getting paid. What a player he is. It's funny. He dominated and really came on the scene, at least for me, World Juniors. I remember seeing him two years in a row for Team Canada, just dominate, run the power play, had a cannon. I remember Taylor Hall, I asked about him. I said, is that guy that good? Like, he's really undersized. Like, is he just a power play specialist? And Halsey had played in Windsor with him and said, no, this kid's unreal. His shot's insane. He's quick. He wins battles. He's smart. And, I mean, there was times – I thought when the Predators went to the Cup Finals, I think he was, like, their best player. He was insane. And then it sucked that he missed a lot of the year last year with injury, came back and was still a beast after missing, you know, a lot of time, which is hard to do. So that's a huge deal. And Dylan Larkin, he's 21 still, I think, or maybe 22 now. So good season last year. I mean, I think around 62 games, around 45 points, somewhere in that ratio. I don't know exactly, but I think they're both signings that make sense. I just think Nashville got a great deal on Ellis.
They probably had to give him that extra term in order to get him at such a good bargain. Another state that doesn't have state tax, so that probably factored in a little bit as well. And they keep that big four together. And anytime you have a back end like that, and obviously the goaltender they do, I mean they could have a bunch of second, third liners, and they could, you know, potentially get the job done as far as the Stanley Cup. So they stay relevant, and they're going to be strong moving forward again.
Ellis put up 101 points when he played in Windsor one season.
He got 100 points in the O?
He got in 2010, 2011, in 58 games, he had 24 goals and 77 assists for 101 points.
100 points is a D-man, and it's not the Quebec League. Holy shit.
Yeah, he had a coming out party, like you said, Witz, with the cup run last year. And, you know, on a defense with Subban and Josi, to be able to even stand out on his own, he did that pretty well. So he's definitely a great signing for them. And Dylan Larkin, yeah, basically, I mean, it looks like he's in line, I guess, to be the next captain. I mean, you were away with Zetterberg, right? I mean, I know
Legend.
Were there any indications from, you know, talking to him or just any vibe that, okay, he might not be back this year?
Not really. Chatted with him a little bit, and he had talked about, you know, he's back. I'd been bugging him, you know, doing certain things. I don't know. I think it's just hard for him to even know. I mean, you know, maybe he's tried skating. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he'll try at camp, but I wouldn't really know.
Yeah. Well,
we were, you know, busy into other things.
Yeah, I like the night I party with him, the Conn Smythe Trophy. Before fucking, I got dummied by Chelios's bodyguard. what else you got going on, Biz? When you're just outside Seattle now? When will you hit? When will you hit Phoenix?
Tomorrow night. So I mean, sorry about the audio quality to all of our listeners, but you know, I had to go down there. I got to get ready for a big season. I don't know if you guys know, but I work for an NHL team. Signed a 3-year extension with the Phoenix, or sorry, should I say Arizona Coyotes. So really not a big deal there. But boys, I'm amped up for another season of NHL hockey, and we're going to be going back to 2 episodes, boys. So that's big.
Hey, I should tell the story too. One of the stories I told that for my brother's speech or at my, you know, at my brother's wedding. My one brother told a story about, you know, the kid getting married, the youngest. He took my other brother's ID and then got it taken. Idiot, right? Well, with me, sure. I was like, I have an ID story too. Sean was using my ID when I was on the Penguins, and he's in town. We're in the Cup Finals. This moron tries going to a bar on Carson Street, which is just the best place to party in Pittsburgh. He's walking into a bar with Penguins flags flying everywhere and gives the bouncer my ID, Ryan Whitney. The guy looks at him. He's like, dude, shouldn't you be getting dressed for the game right now? It starts in an hour. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm his brother. He's like, well, why didn't you just tell me that? Go on in, have a beer. Like, it's so fucking dumb, but congrats. It was an amazing wedding.
Wait, was the bouncer genuinely confused that he thought it was you?
Yeah, it's like he looks at it. He's like, Ryan, the guy was a Penguins fan, Ryan Whitney. And it's like, one, this isn't you. The guy on this ID is way better looking than you. And two, you have a game in an hour. What are you trying to, like, do you not know this guy's on, like, in the Cup Finals? Not a big deal.
Unreal.
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Throw it to the interviews. Biz, you talked with both Tyson Jost and Blake Como. With both of Vancouver, did you talk to these guys? How'd those interviews go down?
Well, we went to Kelowna. Me and Grinnelli, we took a little road trip, and we went and interviewed a bunch of guys in Kelowna. Joe's a handsome fucking bugger. He's a young up-and-comer. He might...
Boys, you know what we should actually do? We should have a man rocket...
We should make brackets.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. And Blake Como, another guy who salvaged a very, very healthy career. There was a point in time where he was planning on maybe heading over to Europe. He ended up taking a 1-year deal with the Penguins. And that, I mean, anytime, you know, you play with Sidney Crosby, it'll revive your career and your bank account. Whitney knows that. And he's had a couple healthy 3-year deals back-to-back, one with Colorado, and now he just signed another 3-year with Dallas. So we're going to pass it over to them right now and then enjoy the interview.
Hey, boys, actually, before we get to this interview, I need to tell you, I tried this 200 milligram CBD balm from Herbal Active that my buddy gave me over 2 weeks ago now, and it was amazing. It completely took away all the pain that I have in my elbow because I have a nasty injury called tennis elbow. Don't call me weak. But I know how many people and players are actually living with everyday pain. It sucks for me. And how Herbal Active products can help with injury recovery and everyday use. Not just players, but elderly and pets too, if you want to put on your dog. So if you're wondering what else it might help with, here's what I found. Inflammation, muscle pains and strains, bug bites, burns, neuropathy, reduces bruising and swelling, chronic aches and pains. They have a 200 milligram they call the Strong Balm and 100 milligram regular balm. This company has so many other products that can help with everyday life. The mints are great for stress and anxiety, migraines and headaches. And remember, they even have a whole line of products for your pets. Not kidding about that. The big deal in how Herbal is different from others in industry, all of their products are zero THC, 99.5% pure CBD, safe and effective, non-addictive, non-GMO, gluten-free and soy-free. Again, they have zero THC. And on top of all that, it's legal in all 50 states and they ship worldwide, including Canada. Blame Canada. At the end of the day, Herbal Active has a product that can work for anyone in your family. Go check out the website at herbalactive.com. Facebook page and Instagram. It's Herbal Active with no E. That's U-R-B-A-L-A-C-T-I-V. They have a special offer just for Spittin' Chiclets listeners. Get 20% off. Check out now at herbalactive.com. At checkout, use the promo code BIZ20. Thanks for not making it wet. Those of you listeners in the Phoenix area, look them up. They're local and have a store you can go to and pick up products. And don't forget to use the code and you may see Biz.
Welcome back to another double edition of interviews here with Blake Como, who recently signed in Dallas. Congratulations on that deal, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited. Should be a fun time.
And a young punk, up-and-comer, Tyson Yost.
Jost.
Oh, it's Jost?
Come on.
Really? I thought Jost. It was a silent Y.
Jost, yeah, most.
I played either for a year, and I never knew that.
Oh, I get that all the time.
But who cares? He's like, yeah. Have you even played a full year yet? Yeah. You don't deserve any respect.
I was injured a little bit, but I got a full year.
We're going to ask you like three questions. You're just here to put the name on top.
I'll just laugh and make it sound like you guys are funny.
If we need some water or something, we'll have you go get it. First off, let's talk about last season. What a fucking year for the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, it was a huge turnaround. I was there 2 years ago when it was a pretty big disaster. Josty came near the end of the season and grinded out 9 games or whatever it was. But big turnover this year, a lot of new faces. And obviously McKinnon had an outstanding year for us. We had a lot of different guys step up. So it was a huge step for everyone to make playoffs and kind of bounce back.
Talking about McKinnon, is it crazy how good of a year he had and he doesn't get any hardware at the NHL Awards?
Yeah, it's tough. Me and Combs are a little bit biased here, but I think he should have won the Hart. I think that's fair to say, but obviously Halsey had a great year too. But I mean, watching that guy, you kind of caught yourself on the bench sometimes going, holy crap, like this guy's unbelievable. It's insane some of the stuff he do. So
his motor is nuts.
Yeah, he plays in the hard areas. He's got a fiery side to him.
He fought when we played.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
who got ran? Somebody got smoked.
Gerard got sucker punched out of nowhere. Yeah. He turtled. Yeah.
I don't think we should go there. That's that's a little touchy. I was arguing online for about 4 days about that one, but he definitely has that fiery side. And I mean, there's got to be more things to it, though. I mean, collectively as a group, you guys were just on a run.
Yeah, we had really good special teams this year. Our power play was clicking really well. Our penalty kill was great. Varlamov got hurt for a little bit, and Bernier was outstanding. He stepped up and played some big minutes and some big games for us. It was just a big turnover. We had a lot of new faces, a lot of youthful energy, which I think helped out a lot. And a couple more young guys some of us older guys were able to abuse a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
How many games, Tyson, did you play the year before?
I think I got an 8, right around there. So I signed right after UND and came up. And
was it a little odd, or was it just in a different place because it was towards the end of the year, so guys were seeing a little light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're in a tough position, and it was different. Like, they were kind of I guess you guys could say you're a little bit out of it. I mean, you're out of it since Christmas.
Yeah,
it was
just mentally draining to go through something like that.
Yeah, since
November.
So I
came in here and I was like, holy smokes, like, this is the NHL, hey? Is this what happens?
It can't be like this.
Yeah. I remember calling my mom and I was like, wow, like, this is a lot different than I expected. But, I mean, like I said, they're out since Christmas and they're in a tough spot. And coming in last year, it was unbelievable. And we had a lot of young guys, so it was fun. We got along well, and our team kind of gelled and had a lot of fun, so it was an awesome year.
It's nice. Is it nice putting that young blood in the locker room, all these young guys going out, and all you married guys get those stories in the locker room after fun nights out?
Yeah, well, and I feel old. I was the second oldest guy on the team last year, and I was 31, so it makes you feel older than you actually are. But no, it was good. We got a great group of young guys. It was a lot of fun to be a part of the group that we had, and I think that was another big reason why we did well, is we just had great chemistry in the locker room, great group of guys, everyone got along and hung out.
Yeah, who's the clown in the locker room with the Avs? I mean, Tyson, Barry, and McKinnon probably chirp at each other quite a bit.
Yeah, it's like a love-hate relationship with those two. They're one day they're best buddies holding hands in the rink, and the next day they're yelling at each other, so you don't really know what you're going to get out of them.
Barry's always cracking jokes, and whatever. He's usually chirping himself to you. He kind of have to when you have a bod like he does and all that stuff. But
it's amazing how he gets it done, isn't it?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. He had a great year too, so kudos to him. But yeah, he's a pretty good guy. So.
Eric Johnson, he's another clown.
Yeah, he's always.
He can give it, but he can't take it. You know, you give it to him a little bit back, and I know he's how to handle it.
Hey, here's a weird story. So I get a text from Tyson Berry about Johnson, and he goes, "Hey, Johnson's wondering if he can name his horse Biznasty, because he loves horse racing, and he bought a horse, so he named his horse Biznasty, and it's actually going to run in its first race coming up here in the next couple weeks."
Yeah, that's awesome.
Did he ever tell you about that?
I think he did mention it. I'm always, he actually kind of got me into the horse track a little bit the last couple of years.
That's why you needed that big ticket this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, with a guy like that, I need to counteract some of the losses. No. But
we went to a couple tracks this year.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah,
I think we went to one. Yeah.
Florida one. He set everything up, so it was awesome. So he's had a couple horses.
How do you learn about that side of betting? Like, is there like any method to the madness, or you just kind of like the name and pick?
It's that's how it was at the start for me. Or sometimes I'd just be like, EJ, what'd you do? All right, go buy me the same ticket, because he's pretty knowledgeable. He's tapping into some of the trainers that he knows and stuff like that. But it's complicated. I didn't realize how many different bets and all that kind of stuff there is going on.
I was picking off the cool names, and I was just getting absolutely rinsed for the first half. And then I started asking like Combs and EJ what they were doing, and slowly started to turn around. But it was a mess at the start there.
Brent Seabrook was on the podcast a couple of days ago, and he mentioned that one game they were waiting for Quinville to come in, because apparently he's a big horse betting guy. And I don't know if it was a playoff game, but they're waiting for him to come in, because, you know, coaches come in same time all the time. Guys are trying to prepare and get ready. And he was late coming out of the coach's room, and all of a sudden there was chaos in there. And then he like came out, and he spit out his pregame talk, and you could tell he was flustered, and all the older guys are looking at the video guy like, what the fuck is going on in there? And apparently he'd won a super trifecta.
Okay. No way.
With like a very cheap bet. Yeah. Maybe it was like 50 cents a dollar, but he ended up winning a substantial amount of money.
Yeah. Superfecta. I think that's where you got to pick the top four.
Top four in a row. Like,
yeah. But yeah, EJ's on a whole new level. We were riding on the bus after we land, and I sit right behind him, and he'll be playing like a little horse video game on his phone.
No.
Where he's like, you know, so I'll film him and catch him, and he'll get pissed and tell me to beat it. But, or he's got TVG, which is the horse channel in the locker room.
Yeah.
So, you know, EJ's around. So if you walk in, you see them warming up and talking about horses and all that. So he's definitely into it.
Trying to do a dynamic warm up, and you're watching these horses trot around a racetrack, and you're.
Yeah.
It's 8 in the morning, you just had a back-to-back, and you're trying to warm up, and you got to watch these horses rip around a track. So,
How the coach last year, Bednar?
Yeah. Bednar, yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I've already fucked up one name on this podcast. I mean, big year for him. You know, he's a young coach, too. I actually played against him when they won the Calder Cup when he was in Lake Erie. He seems like he just lets the guys play, you know, very calm. I never really see him lose his cool.
Yeah, I would consider him a player's coach. Door open kind of policy, respectful guy. I think it was a tough situation 2 years ago being a first year coach. I mean, nobody would really know how to handle a situation like that, but this year he was great. I think all the guys loved playing for him. And
I think they had you guys had the worst start for the first half of the season in the cap era year before. And just like, I mean, to go from that to what you guys did this year is probably some relief too.
Oh, 100%. I think maybe he would be able to coach a little bit more loose, just like the guys would be able to play a little bit more loose when things are going better. So that's my experience. I don't know.
Yeah, I loved him. He was great with us young guys, and like, obviously it's tough coming to the league. You don't really know what to expect, and you gotta kind of figure out the defensive side of things, and that gets tough. And he was great for us. He always kind of brought us in and helped us through things, so he's awesome.
What was the talk coming into last year? Was there something in training camp where he kind of just sat everyone down and was like, listen, last year was a fucking gong show, like we need to collectively as a group, like, was there that kind of talk, or was it just, you know, everyone came in and it was a clean slate?
Well, we had no expectations. Like, I mean, nobody outside was going to be like, oh, the Avalanche are going to be good this year, or the Avalanche are going to be make the playoffs. Nobody was saying that. So I mean, we were kind of going in with it like, we got to prove everyone wrong, prove everyone that we have special talent in here. And I think that's one thing that we kind of talked about at the start, was let's just prove everyone wrong and kind of show them that we are a good team, and that last year was behind us and we're moving forward. So
just like an attitude change. I think 2 years ago, you know, it's easy to get on each other's case and kind of just have that losing feeling go through the locker room. So we wanted to have a fresh start. We knew that we had a lot of new faces, and I think the older guys tried to take it upon themselves to try to make sure that we were having a good, good mindset and the right mindset from the start of the year, and it seemed like things started to go well. And I think as the year went on, we just grew confidence as a team.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah. Going back to the start of your career, you played in Kelowna.
Yep.
Were you drafted by the Islanders?
Yeah, I was drafted by the Islanders, and that's where I got my start. I think I was there for 5 or 6 years, and then started bouncing around a little bit.
I heard this from someone else. You, before you'd signed with Pittsburgh, you were contemplating potentially going to Europe that year. And then 1 year in Pitt, and I mean, man, you've pretty much rejuvenated your career. You've made a substantial amount of money after leaving Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I went through a little bit of a rough patch there. I got put on waivers with the Islanders, and then I was a year in Calgary and a year in Columbus, and there wasn't a whole lot on the table that summer, so I was still young. I was kind of considering my options, and we ended up playing Pittsburgh that year in the playoffs. We lost out the first round, and they gave me an offer. I went there 1 year, had a pretty good preseason, a good start. I was lucky enough to play on Malkin's line for the year, and like you said, I kind of rejuvenated my career a little bit, and you know, definitely helped the path to being able to stay in the league a little longer.
Yeah, being around that type of locker room. Yeah. And then out of that, you end up getting a 3-year deal in Colorado.
Yeah, 3-year in Colorado. Played my last year this past season, and this summer I signed another 3-year in Dallas. So might not have been the prettiest career so far, but been able to grind my way. This will be my 12th year. So,
man, you played 720 games.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, and now you got a 3-year deal. There's a strong chance you could potentially get to 1,000.
Yeah, which I would have never guessed looking back at where I was that summer before Pittsburgh. So, yeah, it feels good to be where I'm at.
As far as off-ice habits, you seem like you're in pretty good shape. Is that something you've always done?
A lot of road biking I've got into the last couple of years, which I love. I can't stand just being on a stationary bike indoor. And I've had the same trainer for the last 10 years. I train with Shea Weber and Josh George in a group. So we all kind of push each other. You know, as I've gotten older, you kind of realize you got to take care of your body a little bit because it's such a young league now. So.
And all these young guys got power skating coaches.
Yeah, skill coaches, everything.
What's Tyson got?
This kid's been.
He's got a blood doping coach.
10 years old.
Easy now.
You know.
No, McKinnon's whipping me into shape this summer. He's got me on the Andy O'Brien program, and I work out with the Shen brothers here in Kelowna. So.
Okay, there's probably a lot of listeners who don't know who Andy O'Brien is, but he's one of the revolutionary hockey trainers. I would put him in that Matt Nickel category. What are the different types of things that he does that they didn't do in conventional hockey training?
I remember last year when I was with my old trainer, I was just lifting really heavy and doing back squats and all that stuff. And I came into camp. Combs, I was an absolute unit. I was probably like 195, 5'11", just looked great on the
just
beach
swollen,
in Kelowna here.
Just swollen.
Cankles.
Couldn't move, yeah. But this year, it's just a lot of lighter lifting and mobility stuff and a lot of band work, all that stuff. So I loved it so far. It's been awesome. I'm really happy I made the switch.
I keep hearing about these Andy O'Brien warm-ups. They last about an hour. Just hip mobility. Then you're doing a lot of sprinting and directional stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, Braden had a little foot injury to start the year, but the off-season year here. So me and Luke were doing all these dynamic warm-ups, and we'd come back into the gym and just be rinsed, just sweating. We're like, holy smokes, it's already an hour and a half and we aren't even finished warm up. So yeah, it's good though. It gets your hips going and stuff like that. You want to take care of the bod. So
and Andy O'Brien is Sidney Crosby's trainer for those who are listening and don't know. And that's kind of how he got his name, but how he became a famous hockey trainer. Now everyone takes him very seriously, of course, because Sid's off ice is insane. Have you guys ever had the chance to train with him?
Well, and I was with him in Pitt. He was always in the gym after games, after practices. You could see that he really took his training and his body serious, and I think that's why he's one of the best players in the world. And I think when he's been working with Andy and they see what kind of work that he's done, I think it's word of mouth, and Andy's got such a great reputation now that I know Luke and Braden just started it last couple of years. You started this year, and I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, McKinnon did it, so he kind of said, you should try this, and it's kind of funny. You'll be in the gym and you'll have like bands wrapped around your head for your posture and around your arms, and there's people looking at you like, holy shit, like, what's this guy doing over here? He plays in the NHL. Like, this is what you got to do to make the NHL. It's pretty funny, but
that's right, because Andy usually gives you the program and then you guys go do it on your own. So are you doing this type of stuff in like a regular gym, or is it mostly athletes in the gym?
It's a little bit of it's a mix. I mean, you got mostly athletes, but there's a couple of randoms that are in there. Some of the older people, and it's a couple
soccer moms wondering what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, a few of those. Oh yeah, and then
you guys got a pretty good setup though. You got the indoor turf and all the soccer.
Yeah,
fields,
it's awesome.
And all
it's I mean, you kind of hear like, oh, you're at a public gym. It's whatever. That can't be good. But it's been awesome so far. But It's funny, like, watching some of the older guys come over saying, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, you can't tell me this is making you ready for this season.
So. If I could go back, I wish I would have known about all this conventional stuff instead of lifting heavy, because my body fell apart because of it. Tice, I wanted Grinnelli. He's our college hockey expert, so he was going to ask you a few questions about your come up.
Well, you weren't there long, but what was it like playing home games at the Ralph? I mean, that place is bananas, right?
And that's North Dakota, correct?
Yeah, at North Dakota.
Yeah, I was at University of North Dakota. I was only there for a year, but... it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's hard to even explain. I can say it's like an NHL game, but it's not, because it's more electric. Like, you got the fans and the student section doing all these chants.
Quick
and these
jab
crazy
at the
things.
NHL.
And I mean, I remember being on the bench and I'd look out into the student section sometimes if you're at whatever, an TV timeout or whatever. And see students getting carried out of the rink by security and like passed out, and people are puking, and it's just electric. And
he's obviously never been to a Kelowna Rockets playoff game.
Yeah, you get 12,000 fans though, and I mean, it's unbelievable. And then
don't they have gold seats or something, or marble floors?
All the seats
are
leather.
The helmet for the leading scorer, isn't it?
Oh,
it's in Europe.
Oh, thought that was no doubt.
No, but yeah, you got leather seats throughout every single seat, and then throughout the floors and stuff like that, it's all marble. So.
And then in between, what is it, the second and third period, they do that, like, they do, like, crazy, like, light show, like, Tiesto concert, basically.
Each intermission, they have a light show, and you get the cheerleaders that come out on the ice, and they're doing all their dances and stuff like that.
Everyone's drinking Molly water in the crowd, just getting fucking real
lit. North Dakota, nothing better to do than drink and watch hockey.
You guys got to be rock stars up there, right? I mean, what else is there in North Dakota?
Why do you think he's so cocky? Look at the guy. He's fucking sick.
Oh, I'm not cocky at all here. No, yeah, they love their hockey there, and it's fun when you're walking around campus and stuff like that. Everybody kind of knows you're on the hockey team, and that's something that's kind of cool. That
is that because you wear your varsity jacket?
Yeah, I got the UND logo right on there. UND hockey player number 17. No,
he wore it all year this year in Denver too. Just couldn't cut the cord.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, and that's kind of the thing that you don't really get here in Canada with the university and stuff like that. So being in an American school and kind of see their school spirit and stuff like that, it was pretty fun to be a part of.
Puke. I hate listening to college hockey guys talk about college. Wait, hockey. Right, Como? There's like disgusting. A battle in the locker rooms between college guys.
You would have done well at college, though, no?
Oh, you would have ripped it up. Yeah, you would have loved it.
I would have never made pro hockey if I went to college.
No way.
I didn't drink for a while. I really didn't start drinking until I was like 20 years old. Maybe 19 was probably the age. Prom was the first time I'd been drunk. At 18, which people are like, oh, well, that's not even the legal limit yet. But, I mean, most hockey guys are probably crushing when they're, you know, 14, 15. Especially if you're a Western leaguer. Western leaguer, it's like 12.
Yeah. Oh, Saskatchewan boys, for sure. Maybe 10.
Gritty. Just in the trenches.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally, Blake?
I grew up in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan. So it's about 3 hours north of Saskatoon. And I was there from 4 to 15 years old. Played 1 year midget in Saskatoon. And then I came out to Kelowna.
Yeah, you played with Kelowna for, well... technically 5 seasons, but it was at the end of 1 year.
Yeah, I think I played 5 games up when I was 15, and I played 4 years here. So,
you never played as an overager?
No.
You ever win a Memorial Cup?
Yeah, we won one, and we went to two. So I had a lot of really good players that I got to play.
Take
with,
a look at the back of his cap. Yeah, he'll say right on there.
Yeah, nice. Awesome, like Memorial Cup tattoos when I was like 17. Looks like my daughter drew it with her crayons.
Hey man, you know, I don't mind that. That's kind of like the junior thing. They used to get them on the Cavs.
Yeah,
I think Mark Recchi got a couple Stanley Cup ones on his. He won one with Carolina. Correct?
Yeah.
But going back to junior, you played with Randall Gelich?
Yeah, he's a legend within our group of friends.
This guy's got a huge wrench. We talk about wrenches a lot on this show, and this guy's got a dinosaur cock.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories of him was he bought this car. I don't know how he got the money, but he got this car for like $500, was driving it around for a couple of weeks, and then he had no money to go out one weekend to party with us, so he ended up selling the car back to the guy for $200 so he could come out to the bar with us one night.
Randall Gelich did that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He was a treat. You guys had quite a few pro guys on that team. Cam Paddock was there?
Yeah, he played a few games in the NHL. I was with Weber, Georges, Alex Edler with the Canucks.
Oh, wow.
Luke Shen was 16 when I was 19. So we had a lot of really good players. Yeah.
You guys were stacked. You guys went on a run a couple years there.
Yeah.
Blake, I want to talk to you or ask you, what was the best place you played at? I mean, I know you bounced around a bit. That's not a dig at you.
Yeah.
You spent a long time in Long Island. but like what was your funnest city?
I think it was Denver. I just love the city. Great spot. I got a young family, so it's super family oriented. You got the mountain super close that a lot of guys go up to for Christmas break or All-Star break.
Yeah, you're kind of like Meet the Duggars. You got three kids and one on the way?
Yeah, I got two and then one on the way. So three is not quite that. Four might be, be able to call me the Duggars.
Sorry, I was trying to, maybe more Philip Rivers style.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's at like 8 or 9, so I still got a ways to go to match that. But it was awesome. I loved it there. You just kind of associate Denver as being like snowy, cold in the mountains, but it's complete opposite. Super mild winters. Sunny every day, so yeah, we loved it.
I think if I had to pick a city to live in the United States, Denver would probably be in my top five.
Yeah, for sure, mine.
The music scene there is great. Yeah. They got some fun bars.
Yeah,
and I believe this is a little fun fact. It has the most sunny days.
Does.
Per year in all of North America.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Calgary's up there too.
Yeah, but I think Denver has it.
But Denver's there, so yeah, maybe get some kickback from Denver Tourism.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to talk about? I know it's probably sad to see him go. He's taken off to Dallas.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, obviously, Combs is a great part of our team, and he's one of those locker room guys that's fun to have around, and he's always chirping us young guys. And like you said, like he's a little bit older, and you didn't really realize that.
That's old now. Yeah, if you're over 30 in the National Hockey League, right? Like, you're a bum. You're getting bought out 100%. You're toast.
I mean, you know, too, when we first came in, it was like maybe 3-4 guys under the age of 30 on the team. Like I had tons of guys over 35 that I played with, and now it's complete opposite. You know, it's crazy.
It's hard to rile them in a little bit, especially when you get a bunch of young guys and then they kind of like take over the locker room where you gotta be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Pipe down here.
Yeah. I had to dial Josty back a little bit, rolling in with his varsity jacket on, thinking he was the man.
Do these guys talk about that Fortnite? Are you a big game?
I got into a little bit this year, actually. Yeah. For like probably 2 months. Mostly after games. I can't fall asleep after games. I'm up all night. So there was like 6 or 7 of us. He was in a little crew and I got hopped on board. I haven't played in a while, but I kind of passed the time after games.
All that indica marijuana in Denver could have helped out, but you guys are clean cut. I know that. I'll leave that to me. Anything you're looking forward to going in next season?
No, obviously exciting. And I think now that we have a little bit of expectations behind us, so I know talking to everyone, it's really exciting right now. We want to get back there, and obviously playoffs now is the goal, or I guess you could say we kind of failed. So I know everybody's excited to get back, and we're just all to wedding, Lannis Cog's wedding, and
a bunch of the guys came, and
I showed you the video of me dancing around. And but yeah, that's awesome. It just shows how tight our team is. I don't know how many guys we had, but a lot of guys showed up. And
I could only imagine the bridesmaids at a Swedish wedding. And were there some beautiful blonde hair, blue eye women?
Blonde hair, blue eyes, looked exactly like Landy, the good looking fella he is. And
yeah. You were cutting the rug with a couple.
Yeah, I was.
He told me he met his future ex wife there.
I mean, when you were ripping it up on the dance floor like I was. Combs, I think you can agree as MVP of the day.
I was impressed.
You really were. You were in your element, in your own world.
What I was most impressed about were how original the moves were. You weren't stealing them from, we go back to Fortnite. They got the L dance and those other dances, but
all original, all in the hips. The Andy O'Brien special.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
Andy O'Brien, man. Dancing with the stars.
Yeah. It was like your dynamic warm-up on the dance floor.
Grinnelli probably has another college question.
No, it's not college. Whit usually likes to ask, who is the toughest guy that you guys have played against?
Toughest.
Like maybe the defenseman, you're like, fuck, man, I got to go against this guy tonight.
Every game that you just hate to go against.
Honestly, I hate playing against Joel Edmondson. I think he's a prick to play against.
He's a scumbag. Cross checks.
Yeah. But then he's a great guy off the ice.
Unreal guy.
Yeah.
And probably Brooks Orpik is probably my most. I don't know. I try to take a run at him when I can, but he just only because he plays so hard. You know, it's a lot of stick work in front of the net. He hits like a truck. So.
And I feel like those older guys get away with so much because they're all playing tummy sticks with the referee.
The refs, exactly.
And the ref's like, hey, man, you can't be cross-checking that guy in the face like that. And he's like, all right, man, I won't do
Five
it next time.
Later.
Yeah, and it's just like the other guy's like, are you fucking kidding me? He's got 4 teeth. He's bleeding.
I'd probably say Ryan Reeves. My first game was against St. Louis, and I remember I was just a little 19-year-old, 5'11", all small, and I was matched up against his line, and he kept running me, and Yeah, I was just like, I'm going to do absolutely
nothing other than talk about it on that podcast I'm going to do in 2 years.
Yeah. I will say Joel C doesn't bail out of very many hits. I haven't seen any get lit up more in a season than this kid does, but he gets up and keeps going.
What about you? What's the toughest defenseman you've ever faced?
I'd probably say Brooks Harvey too. I remember playing him against Washington, and like you said, I got so many whacks in the back of the legs. And same with Sutter too, actually, off the Wild there. He was whacking me in the back of the leg. Sutter.
Hey, see? Not so fucking easy, is it?
I'm 0 for 1 there.
Yeah.
There we go.
See, not so
easy. Yeah. No, Sutter got me a couple times, and I'm not going to do anything.
I heard he's a grumpy guy.
Yeah, he was all pissed off at me. And I'm chilling in the slot, and he's just burying me in the back of the leg. So couldn't really do anything, though. I'm not going to whack him back.
Anything else to talk about as far as Landeskog's wedding? Did you get the invite, Como?
Yeah. Como's there. Yeah, I saw Josie on the floor firsthand, but it was awesome. Great wedding. Tons of people.
He's a handsome fella. Yeah, he must have a beautiful girl.
He looked like a supermodel. She's awesome. Down the aisle there.
Pretty good looking couple for sure. But he's an awesome guy. He's got great looks.
Should we give him the Man Rocket title?
I think he's. I think he's deserving of the Man Rocket title.
Yeah.
Okay. Congrats, Linus.
I would agree.
I agree with that. All of his buddies too. A bunch of good looking Swedes at the wedding.
Yeah. Yossi's like, how am I going to get laid when I'm married?
Got all this competition.
Yeah, 2 o'clock scramble.
He wore his varsity jacket and pulled one out.
Yeah, I got the UND. It wasn't working too well, though.
You ever heard of Nodak?
So I had to whip out the dance moves.
You ever heard of Nodak?
Well, boys, I want to thank you guys for stopping by. I know you guys got busy schedules, and wish nothing but the best moving forward, especially with your new city in Dallas. You guys are going to have a good squad. Hopefully you guys can make it over the hump.
Yeah. I think we got some good pieces there, so I'm excited. Excited to get out to the city. I think everyone loves living there, so I'm pumped.
Another place that would probably be in my top five.
I heard Dallas is bananas.
Like, yeah.
The city itself is crazy. Like, just the nightlife and all that.
Yeah, but he's married. He's got 10 kids, dude. He's not going out nightlife. He's going to Chuck E. Cheese.
He's playing Fortnite all night in his room.
Exactly. That's me living on the edge.
And Tyson, good luck to you. I know you guys are got some big shoes to fill without Como there, but best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited for next year. It should be a fun one.
That interview was brought to you by Oxford Road. Has your company outgrown QuickBooks? Are shared spreadsheets, manual processes, and legacy systems costing you time and money? Now is the time to move your business to the cloud. Introducing NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. With NetSuite, you can save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desk or even your phone. Thousands of the best-known brands and fastest-growing companies use NetSuite to manage their business, and now it's available to you. The power of the world's most popular cloud management system is more affordable than you think. Right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights to overcome the obstacles that are holding you back for free. Don't miss out on unleashing your business's full potential with this free guide, Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth. You'll learn how to acquire new customers, increase profits, and finally get real visibility into your cash flow. Get NetSuite's guide, Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth, when you go to netsuite.com/chicklets now. Download their free Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth guide today at netsuite.com/chicklets. Again, that's netsuite.com/chicklets, C-H-I-C-L-E-T-S.
Well, boys, it was great catching up with those guys. I wish you guys could have joined me in Kelowna. What a beautiful city. But, I had to take care of business on my own.
Hey, Wits, we'd just be talking about having a Man Rocket bracket. I think that's a great idea. We should probably solicit some, suggestions from the listeners, I would think, right? I mean, there might be some diamonds.
Let's be honest. In the end, we're deciding who are the man.
Absolutely, but there could be diamonds in the rough. Like, for example, like a couple weeks ago, I might not have thought Noah Hanifin, but after we interviewed him over Brighton a couple weeks ago, I think he's a certified Man Rocket.
He's too hot. And I told you, he's got the tats. We talked about the tats.
Yeah.
that brings you into a different bracket of women. It's just, he's a hot man. I think that a part of it is kind of the role you play too. Like, if a guy's like a real like seventh D, I don't know. It's more about the guys that are hot and are players too. I mean, I just think a Brock Besser, is he like a possible number one? I don't know. In his bracket, is he a number one seed? He could be.
Yeah, definitely. With that
like a guy like to me, like a guy like Roman Yossi, like he's a handsome fella. He's tall. He's European too. So I feel like the Europeans, because they dress a little bit nicer, they're going to have the advantage. We should almost do it Ryder Cup style.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. It was an idea. You kind of sounded disappointed by it.
Well, I don't even – what's Ryder Cup style? How would we do that? What do you mean?
Well, oh, like, because, like, you got the Europeans and then the North Americans. Like, they go head-to-head, you know?
I don't know. Like, that could get a little convoluted.
Dude, North America would – actually, no. Sweden.
I don't know, dude. Hank, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Hank Lundqvist, dude.
Maybe we could do USA versus the world. Yeah, I don't mind that.
Like that Goldobin kid, I think he's from Russia. He's an undercover handsome fella.
A Russian's on there?
I mean, there'll be a few. They'll get point deductions for bad haircuts, like a bowl cuts and shit. But
hey, Biz,
and then the Abercrombie t-shirts and the Gucci tracksuits.
This is my $7,000 pair of sweatpants, and this is a LL book bag that was given to me by like some kid in the U.S. who gave it to the Goodwill.
Yeah, hey. Now let's go get some sushi with dog meat.
Hey, before we go any further, I need to talk to you guys about something. Because when it comes to your health, brushing your fangs, also known as your teeth, is one of the most important parts of your day, and Quip knows that. They've combined dentistry and design to make a better electric toothbrush, which if you don't have, you're a fool. Quip is the new electric toothbrush that packs just the right amount of vibrations into a slimmer design at a fraction of the cost of bulkier, traditional electric brushes. And guiding pulses alert you when to switch sides, which is always an issue for me. I think I always go one side too long till I got the Quip. But Quip also comes up with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygiene travel anywhere, whether it's going in your gym bag or your carry-on. You're kind of a hardo if you're brushing your teeth in the gym, though. And because the thing that cleans your mouth should also be clean, Quip subscription plan refreshes your brush on a dentist-recommended schedule, delivering new brush heads every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Quip is backed by a network of over 10,000 dental professionals, including dentists, hygienists, and dental students. Most toothbrushes don't get named one of Time Magazine's best inventions of the years, but Quip did. Find out for yourself why. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/chicklets right now, you'll get your first refill pack free. I misread that. So what will happen is you'll get your first refill pack free, no charge, if you use the chicklets code on getquip.com. That's a first refill pack free at getquip.com/chicklets, spelled getquip.com/chicklets. Hey, do you know Brandon Yip at all?
Yes, I know Yipper, yeah.
Yipper's the best. Good friend of mine. He's playing for the team in China again in the KHL. I think it's like Kunlun Red Star or something like that. Red Star. But they do training camp in Sochi. He posted on his Instagram the other day. He went bungee jumping in Sochi.
Oh, my God.
Would you ever – I would never go bungee jumping. A Russian bungee cord is 50-50.
Yeah. That's fucking ballsy, man. I've done it, but I would never do it.
The video's insane.
Like the safety protocol in Russia is like, yeah, it looks good to me.
Yeah, man, I pulled on it with my left arm. It seemed pretty strong.
Biz, I did it.
Man,
hey, Lada, our boy Lada was the one who actually was recording the video.
Who?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I thought that was in North America.
Biz, I went bungee jumping naked before.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Spring break.
I think I'd rather go in. I think I'd rather go in Russia than have to be there watching you go naked.
I uncovered the old videotape when I was cleaning out my house, and I watched it. I was like, "Yeah, this is getting burned. No one's ever gonna see this again."
Oh man.
Oh, we should post it to the Chicklets account, the Instagram.
You really should have posted that thing, dude. Honestly, if you could like zoom out, I mean, it's not gonna be very big little area to have to zoom out, but I think if you did that, it would be a pretty viral video. Yeah. RA with hair, naked bungee jumping. Yeah, jumpstart a puke.
That could be your introduction to Instagram, RA.
Nah, definitely nothing flattering about it. But anyways, any other shit on the docket, boys, for the weekend?
I've actually been bungee jumping, but they tied my foreskin to the top, so I knew it wasn't going to rip. So I obviously didn't die.
Strong cock like horse.
Oh, that's just perfect. We can go out with that one.
Okay, well, that's about it, boys. That's time to leave after that one.
Biz, drive safe.
Yeah, get this.
Okay, boys, we'll see you soon.
See you. Bye.
Well, I started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down as I crossed the hill. And the town lit up. The world gets still. I'm learning.